I don't want to call it a ministry, because it should be a normal way of life in a church, I think. And just pray that would just continue to stay strong and grow, okay? So let's go ahead and set these prayer requests to the side as we end with a prayer request for the Bible studies that are taking place, the Bible readings, one-on-one Bible reading. We'll shift now to discipling, which is kind of what that's all about, the one-to-one Bible reading. And if you have your outline there, we're going to go a little bit deeper tonight talking about discipling. And as far as what is it? Well, it's influence. Okay, I think I have that on your notes. God's characteristics or God's attributes. Those tell us what God is like. So based on what you know of his attributes, okay, you tell me, what is God like? Loving, okay. What else? Patient, okay. Have you been a recipient of patience? Okay. Someone else. Love and patient. Obedient, okay. Holy. And what was yours, Pat? Forgiving and holiness. Those are all amazing attributes, aren't they? Attributes, the attributes of God, they all tell us, they together, collectively, they tell us what God's like. But scholars take all of those attributes and they divide them into two categories. And I think I have that designated there in your outline. Communicable and incommunicable. Two different categories for those. That almost sounds like diseases, right? Communicable diseases. Like, what's the one? COVID-19? Coronavirus? Yeah, it's been renamed COVID-19 because someone at the World Health Organization thought it was politically incorrect towards Asians to call it coronavirus. And so they changed the name to sound like a scientific name so people wouldn't think of Asian people, I guess. That's what the story was on why they changed it. But this is not what we're talking about, okay? In a sense, we are communicable. Those are attributes that can be communicated, okay? Those are attributes that can be shared or transferred, the attributes of God that can be transferred or shared to us. Think of God's love. That can certainly be transferred to us, right? His mercy, his forgiveness. I think everyone mentioned attributes that can be communicated to us. His holiness, his grace, his patience, and then because those have been or can be transferred to us, we then can be loving and merciful and forgiving and holy and patient and gracious with other people. God's attributes being communicated to us, and then we are that way with other people. Now, the other one, the incommunicable ones, can you guess what those might be? Those are things that can't be transferred to us, such as omniscience, right? The fact that he knows everything, okay? His omnipresence, okay? He's everywhere at the same time. Even though some people think they might know everything, we could teach them different, right? Only God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful, right? Here's another one that's not able to be communicated or transferred to us. And this is the attribute of immutability. And it simply means this: God doesn't change. His unchangingness, that attribute of him, he can't change, okay? That means he is immutable. He doesn't mutate, doesn't change. That can't be transferred to us either. These are the qualities that only he possesses. He doesn't change. We change, don't we? Okay, the person that you married, have they changed since you married them? Jackie's answering for you, Dan. Yeah, you meant to say no. All right. Yeah, we all change, okay? We know that. God never changes. We change. Okay? He doesn't change, but we change. And I'm emphasizing that because we're gonna look at that from a different direction here. God never changes, but we do. We love him. And there are times, even though that we love God, isn't there times that we drift away, right? Even though we do love him, and we still drift away. What changed there? We did. God didn't change. He's still the same, but we did. People change. But here's what this also means. The fact that people change, here's what this means. We change. I know I just said the same thing, didn't I? But here's how I mean that, okay? Because we change, we can change from what we are to not just what we shouldn't be any longer, but we can change to what we should be. Many times people focus on just trying to change from the bad, okay? And everyone agrees that everyone can change. If they have a bad habit, I mean, we're constantly working with our children, trying to get them to change, okay, to stop the bad habits. But wait a minute. We can change to move forward to the good, can't we? And there's no age limit on that either. We can always still be changing, moving towards that direction. We can change from what we are to what God wants us to be. It's not impossible. It is so possible for us to change. May it never be said, I've been, or he's been, or she's been that way for so long, we can never change. He can never change. Have you ever heard that or thought that maybe about someone? That's just the way they are, right? It's impossible for them to change. Oh, no, it isn't. Because one of our attributes is we change, okay? Now, let's take that just another step further. Number one, in your outlines there, we are changeable creatures. But you don't know what a creature of habit this person is, Pastor. You don't know how long they've been this way. I don't. But I do know that as humans, we are always, always changing. Consider the aging process from the day we're born. We're constantly changing. And then we get to this stage of life where we wished we would stop changing, right? Just, whoa, pull the brakes here. Pull the reins back. Let's just coast into heaven the way I am right now. So there's the aging process. How about the mental process? Don't we change with our mental processes? Okay. Have you ever forgotten something? Do you find as you're getting older, you forget more and more stuff? Or is it harder to memorize verses than when you were younger? Did the verses get harder? No, we've changed. Our mental capabilities have changed. The spiritual process of our life, that's always changing. Folks, we are never coasting in our spiritual life. We're either moving closer to God or we're moving farther from God and closer to the world. It is a constant struggle and battle, okay? In the Bible, you see two enemies. You see Satan and you see God. And the battle is constant. There is no third area in the Bible for good people who are just coasting their way into heaven. There's no Switzerland in the Bible. There's no neutral place in God's word. We're either moving towards God or moving away from God. So God doesn't change. We do. That is our nature because we are changeable creatures. And I know I keep emphasizing that because we've got to get it into our minds that when I walk out of here or even within this room and I look at someone, I need to see them as someone who is changeable. They can be changed. Okay? Let's add something to this. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess or riot, speaking evil of you. Okay, Peter's addressing the believers, and the they in this verse is the world. And he's saying, they think it's so strange that you don't run with them, that you don't do what they do, that you don't get involved with everything that they're involved in. And as a consequence, they speak evil of you. We live in a world that is full of spiritual conflict, okay? It's not about the guy next door or the person that irritates us or gets our goat. It is a spiritual warfare that's taking place. Peter recognizes that even, and he's pointing that out to them. Look, there are people out here that are they think you're strange. And he understands something. He understands the world doesn't understand a biblical lifestyle. They just don't get it. They think we're weird. I mean, people in the stores in the community here, you know, like where I get my coffee and stuff like that. You mean you go to church like every Sunday and Sunday night? Why? You must be really bad. You need more than one a week, you know, or whatever they think. The world thinks we're weird. They think we're weird. They think we are unloving. They think we are judgmental. They think we are discriminating against other people. And what effect do you suppose that has on Christianity as a whole? Anyone want to guess? It's what? It's bad. How does it show itself in Christianity when the world thinks we are unloving, discriminating, unforgiving, judgmental? They don't want to have anything to do with us, okay? Let's go deeper than that. What else might happen within the Christian world because of that? Button up, meaning, we change what we do, right? Maybe we don't do what they do, but we just, we'll stay over here, you stay over there. Okay, it affects us in some way. It causes some people, some whole churches, to embrace immoral lifestyles now. Because we love people. And we don't want to be judgmental. See, that's what the world thought, and then it influenced, there's the word, influenced churches, whole denominations. It influences Christians individually. The effect that all of that has on us is that one word, influence. Okay? And because we're changeable, that means we are influenced by these things on the outside. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that the kingdom of the air is at work in the disobedient, okay? Satan's working in the disobedient. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's that spiritual warfare taking place that influences us. Beware when you think you stand, lest you fall, is what God's word tells us. There was a 5th century pastor that described it this way. He said, there's a clash between two cities, the city of man and the city of God. Both cities want to recruit us for their work. That's what's going on. Are we being influenced? Yes. For which city? Okay. We can be affected by this. We can be influenced negatively. So we always have to be on guard for that. But that means, okay, that people can be influenced positively too. It's not just about, oh no, it's so hard on us in this world, the pressures, the influence. Wait a minute. We can influence other people positively. Because, why? People are changeable. Just like we can change, they can change. We can be influenced, so can they. So, number two, okay? We influence and are influenced, okay? When my car breaks down, I take it to a certain mechanic here in Taylorville. And I think I've used that mechanic ever since I moved back to Taylorville, over 6 years ago now. And you've got your guy, I'm sure, that you take yours to. And if you have a plumbing issue in the house and you don't do plumbing, you get your plumber that you call. And you know who the mechanic that I call? I won't say their name, but the reason I called him the first time is someone here at church gave me his name, said, hey, this guy's fair. He does a good job. His rates are reasonable. And so I call him. And the plumber, the name was given to us, and we call him. You need yard work done? Okay, you're going to call Ben Robinson because he does a great work with yard work. Okay, he's an honest, hardworking man. But see, my thing is, the reason that I called that mechanic is someone influenced me to call him. I'm so easily influenced, aren't I? So are we all. And that's how easy it is to influence somebody. That's the kind of influence. We're not talking about connecting with someone and changing their life, taking them from the gutter and putting them on a missionary field somewhere in Africa. We're just talking about influencing, because that's what discipling is. It's influencing. It's just good providing influence to another person. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad company ruins good morals, is what that verse is saying there. Bad company influences people. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, Paul said there, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? There's that concept of influence again. He is saying, don't you know that these people around you are going to influence you? And the same principle holds true in reverse. We will influence those around us for better or for worse. Could we influence people around us for worse? Yeah, absolutely. Do we sometimes? Yeah. Should we influence them positively? Absolutely. Can we? Absolutely. I've never been to Bible college. You don't have to go to Bible college to be an influencer. The only question that remains is, how will you use your influence? We all have it. How are you going to use it? Influence? You say, me? Yes, folks, you do have influence. The person that influenced me to go to the mechanic that I go to, okay? They weren't someone with 42 pastoral degrees after their name or anything like that. They weren't even a mechanic, but they influenced me. Remember, folks, you were created with or in God's image. How can you influence somebody? You were created in God's image. Okay? If we let that image come forth untarnished, our influence on other people will be for good. Even if we don't feel special, we don't feel respected by the people around us, we can still influence them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, likewise, here's an example, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. People can influence others just by their conduct. Consider Christ. He did it. Of course, words too. Through his suffering, the Bible teaches he brought healing and life to people. 1 Peter chapter 2, there's a stretch of verses there I want to read beginning in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You see, we can have gospel influence. Our question, how will we intentionally use the influence that we do have with people around us? Sometimes I've been approached just a couple of times over the last many years. Someone was reaching out to a family member, and they just weren't getting anywhere with them, or that person was sick, and they called me and wanted me to go do it. It's like I got superpowers or something. Will I wear my cape when I go in, or and see, or they would give me the name of their neighbor or coworker, and you know, my thought is, you have more influence with that person than I do. I don't even know them. You, folks, you have more influence with the people that are around you than I ever will, because I'm not around them. But I wonder sometimes if maybe that's our problem, because we know what kind of influence we've had on that person, and we need to call in someone else. So maybe there's something we need to change about our influence as well. And take those opportunities that God gives you where you're at. God, if you think I'm nothing, I'm weak or whatever, great. God uses the weak things to confound the strong and the wise. Just be usable and influence. According to our definition from last week, a disciple of Christ disciples others by helping them to follow Christ. Is that how we're exercising our influence? We'll stop with that question. Let's go ahead to our prayer groups.